broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This indeed is the broadcast for March the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour 2 of 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Wow. Kellyanne Conway called racist for kneeling on the couch when Donald interviewed black college leaders. Black colleges are really a racist agenda in the first place. Nevertheless, Kellyanne kneeled on the couch to get an incredible photo of the thing. They called her a racist. Wow. Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, getting attacked for talking to Breitbart, but Joe stands up. He says, I'll talk to all people on the right and the left and the middle, and I'm not going to go ahead and capitulate to this. Trump, quote, my job is not to represent the world. My job is to represent the United States of America, Americans first. And the race card is going away, folks. They've lost this narrative now. And thank heavens they have. Trump reiterates promise to extinguish, I'm sorry, ISIS. ISIS, ISIS, in his speech to Congress. Trump promises to eliminate limits on defense spending. That's scary as all get out. He also noted this calls for one of the largest increases in defense spending ever in our history. That's a great concern. There's a fine line between giving our troops what they need to defend America and becoming a warlike people. Great generals, great warriors. I don't like language like that, folks. However, President Trump is appropriate for honoring the widow, Karen Owens, of slain Navy SEAL Ryan Owens. Liberal CNN commentator Van Jones nails it when he says, one of the most extraordinary moments for Donald Trump ever. The Navy SEAL tribute was incredible. If Donald Trump can keep doing that, says Van Jones, he'll be president for 8 years. Media had unabashed praise on both sides of the aisle for Donald in his first address to Congress. Whenever they're all that happy about something, it concerns me. Kurt nailed it and said, because he gave something to everyone. You know, throwing a bone to every dog on the block will make all the dogs happy. Great point. Democrats refuse to applaud America putting its own citizens first. Republicans immediately stood and cheered Trump's call, but the Democrats were silent and did not give support. GOP lawmakers praised Donald's speech and said, let's get to work. There was an appropriate honoring of and a standing ovation for Maureen Scalia, Justice Scalia's widow. Amen to that. Let's move to the next couple of tidbits. Donald Trump did say, let's affirm Gorsuch ASAP, calling on Congress to get that done. And by the way, the Senate should deliver on that in about 2 seconds and say, done, Donald, next, let's work together. But again, nothing from Congress, just a silence, just babbling, running around, wasting time as they typically do. But at least Donald providing appropriate leadership for a change. Hour two starts now. News the networks refuse to use. Trump reaffirms tough stance on immigration after reports that he's considering amnesty. Kurt, do you have any updates on this piece?
You know, I've seen several reports about dreamers may be getting their ways.
Those
now,
are the people that are illegal but born in America or whatever you want to say, or somehow brought when they were young as children or whatever, and you know, should they be able to stay? And you know, you get a mixed bag, and that's why immigration is not so simple, Kurt.
And it's one of the things that, at least I think, that he's probably figuring out, he probably already knew this, you know, the art of the deal and all that kind of stuff.
He knew for sure, Kurt.
He knows about how you gotta give a few of these things to get a few of those things, and you go back and forth, and most of the time I'm not for any of that. Like, for example, with government schools, I think, you know, the complete system should be shut down where there's no government, you know, involvement in education. But, you know, that's, I guess you could say, I've come to believe that's my goal. To get there, how do you ever get there, you know? And so, at least to
And Kurt,
you get
just
thereby.
To add, before you continue, it's a fair discussion to not set your sights low, but to say you can't get it all done in a day. It's going to be incremental change. That's what brought us to the brink that we're at, and that's what can restore it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's we've seen our liberties just cut away for years and years and years, little bits at a time. And like I certainly agree with the guy that says, hey, I want patience and I want it now. But, you know, many times we've got to take what we can, I guess you could say, get. And if it takes, you know, that you, for example, increase it, to be able to make sure that your military is properly cared for and that you're truly defending, and that word's very important when it comes to, you know, the quote, Defense Department, that you're truly defending America, if it takes, well, moving a few of the dollars from maybe out of control State Department spending to, you know, letting some Democrat have his way because he's, you know, saying that child protect or child care is okay or something, you know, maybe you do that. I don't, you know, I mean, it irks me to see when government does anything it shouldn't do. But it seems like it's almost the way of politics, it seems like today.
Yeah, good point, Kurt. That's important to understand. And I'm okay with, again, this idea that we're not doing amnesty. I agree there's got to be penalties. You can't just reward people that jump in the line first illegally. You cannot support illegal behavior. But I think there's a lot of things we could do. And if it were up to me, I could write an incredible plan to deal with the immigration issue. The problem is I think a lot of people could write up a good plan, Kurt. I just don't think the Congress is ready to go for it. The Democrats love too much, and the inside Republicans love too much this idea that they got this underclass illegal group to do their bidding. And they can always kind of hold this over their heads. That's what I personally believe is going on. But I bring that up to say, look, you can start out by saying, look, if you have a criminal record, if you have, you know, crimes, we're going to kick you out of America. You're gone. We can say that. And anybody opposed should just be absolutely mocked and laughed at. You're telling me you want to back criminals staying in our country that don't have the right to be here in the first place? Have you lost your mind? We need to go hardcore against those people. All right? When it comes to somebody who was you know, brought here as a little kid, sadly, they've been raised as illegal and don't have an opportunity. And I think we ought to be the most lenient on those people, Kurt. For the most part, all they know is America. And for the most part, they're not criminals. And for the most part, they're hardworking contributors to society. The sooner we bring them on board and make them taxpayers, the better off we are. The example where you've got split husbands and wives and say an illegal father that's the breadwinner or something, and then children that are depending on him that may be legally here. You've got some battles on how to handle those things. And I'm not so sure forcing them to move back across the border is the answer. You just disrupt their job. You disrupt employers. You cause so many problems. But you could start by rejecting the criminals and the terrorists. Hardcore. You could start by shutting down the border so we don't increase the problem. You could start by rewarding those who are here to no fault of their own. And that's really a lot of times these dreamers, or whatever you want to call them. They're here no fault of their own. What are they supposed to do? I mean, they grew up here. They know English as well as they know Spanish. They know America better than they know their, quote, home countries, or whatever you want to say, or the countries they came from. I'm not so sure that we should kick them out. Where are they going to go? They don't have an infrastructure or a way to handle that. That's not honorable or fair or right. So there are ways to take this issue and reduce the gravity of the problem by focusing on groups of individuals with certain circumstances. The group that's not here yet, make sure they don't come. The group that's the dreamers, give them the best treatment. It's to no fault of their own. They didn't do anything illegal. They're illegal, but they're almost, you know, bystanders in this. You could say, well, Sam, no, the second they turned 18, they should have left America. It's all they know, folks. It's not a reasonable proposal. Those who are here who are doing their very best to buck the system, we ought to vet those people and bring them to the forefront. And we need to create a task force or a I would call it an organization, a commission to vet these situations and to create groups of people and first say, what group do you belong in? And then we can look at case-by-case scenarios and deal with these things. But we got to change our own laws. We've also got to realize that we're just as at fault as the illegals are, Kurt. Most of it has happened because we've encouraged it. And when you ask illegals on the street, you know, how did you get here? Well, Barack told me to come. I don't think that's a lie. It might be a little bit of a stretch of the truth, but that's their understanding. That's what they've been told by coyotes and by the whole underclass, underground tunnel or trade of illegality, folks. And we got to bring that out. We got to make sure that people who are of other countries who are legally here stand with us and find solutions. Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
My sister was smoking, and I watched her. She asked me if I wanted some, and I said sure, and she taught me how to smoke, and that was my first experience.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
Both my parents smoke. I mean, seeing them smoke, watching them, thinking, well, I do it, it's not going to hurt me.
Smoking sends mixed messages to your children.
They just recently found out. I just told my mom, so she was shocked, very shocked.
I think parents have a big influence on whether or not their children smoke, because even if the parent says that they don't agree with it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water. I mean, you can say, I don't agree with you smoking, but when you light up 5 minutes later, it doesn't hold a lot of water.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm very careful, Kurt, about this. The immigration issue is tough. I think it can be dealt with fairly easily and fairly handily if those people who really want to solve the problem would be honest. It's kind of like solving the tax problem, the IRS abuses. It could be really done quite easily if people really put their minds and their efforts and their politics aside and really wanted to work on it. But I think you start by caving out or carving out groups of people and saying those who are not here illegally, they're not going to come illegally, period. All right, we're going to open shut the hardcore illegal door. We're going to open legally the reasons people can come, and we're going to learn to vet people properly. We're going to let people who want the American dream have it. We're also going to stop thugs and criminals and terrorists. And we're not going to make this a divisive issue at all. We're going to simply stand on the rule of law. But we got to realize that we're the cause of a lot of the problem, though, Kurt, our laws and the way we've not enforced them, or lack of law. Whatever words you want to use for this is a significant part of the problem. Anyway, I may be going off on this a little bit too much, but the reason I spend so much time about it is because there's a right way and a wrong way to do it, Kurt. And I believe Donald's going about it in a lot of ways the right way and a lot of ways the wrong way. Part of it might be the art of the deal and the discussion, but creating an underground group of illegals in America that don't want to surface because they don't want to get exposed and exported, or deported, I'm sorry, is a concern. But now Democrats rightfully groan, Kurt, when Trump announces new office to help victims of immigrant crime. Now you say, Sam, what are you talking about? Don't you want to help the victims of these illegal activities by, immigrants and criminals and illegals? Of course I do, Kurt. But whenever crimes are committed, there's already mechanisms to take care of when innocence is harmed because of crime. But do we need a new office for, quote, immigrant criminal crime? See, that's part of the problem with Donald's speech, Curtis. He's cranking up a bunch of new government. All he's doing is taking down the government part that he doesn't like and replacing it with another part of government that's unconstitutional that we wouldn't like. Your thoughts?
Well, that's a great point, Sam, and it's... I believe that what you're seeing is, like you say, the art of the deal. You know, I've heard reports where he said, hey, we're going to go ahead and eliminate, 24% of one department, 37% of another. You know, if you really take, as far as I know, our budget, in other words, the money that Congress says we're supposed to spend, they always spend more of it, by the way, but it's something like $3,000 billion. In other words, it's more than $3 trillion, because a trillion is $1,000 billion, and anyway, it's a lot of money. And if he's increasing the defense spending by $54 billion, that's pretty small compared to the $3,000 billion. But what I'm hoping is overall we get less spending and more freedom in America.
Amen to that. I concur 1,000%. Now, Kyle Becker, well-known conservative commentator, I appreciate him. I guess there's a big old feud, Kurt, about what happened during standing ovation for Navy SEAL's widow during Donald Trump's speech. There's a debate about what happened. The claim is that the Republicans stood up big time and applauded, and many Democrats did not stand up. And Snopes and the so-called, fake news veteran fact checkers are supposed to, tell the truth on this, but Kurt, they lied. So now Kyle Becker and others are doing what's called fact check the fact checkers. And they document with video that, yes, indeed, there were several rounds of applause and there was a multiple standing ovation. The reason I say multiple is because some people stood up at first, Kurt, and then later a lot of the Democrats did not stand up. There's videos proving it. And then later more Democrats did stand up and join the original standing ovation plotters. But Nancy Pelosi and what's that other goofball that ran for office, a big Democrat? What's his name? He ran against
big
Hillary.
Democrat. Let's see. You're talking about not the VP.
He ran against Hillary. Right.
Yeah, Bernie.
Yep.
You mean
Bernie Sanders?
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
So Bernie did not stand up at all. Neither did Nancy Pelosi. A lot of key Republicans never stood up and supported, and that's the claim. And now the fact checkers are saying that's not true, but it is true, Kurt. So now we're fact checking the fact checkers, Kyle Becker with the news. Good for him. All right, there's a new CNN poll out, Kurt. Believe it or not, CNN says 7 out of 10 more confident in Donald Trump as president after his joint session address. What do you think of that?
CNN's been taking some hits, and at least in my opinion, well, deservedly so in most cases that I'm aware of. I mean... I think now they're kind of hoping to not be quite so beat up by the president, and so maybe that's what they're doing,
Well,
I just, hey.
All I can tell you is, when CNN gets it wrong, we're going to call them wrong. When they get it right, we're going to call them right. You know what? This poll's kind of interesting. And I think it's probably true. However, in contrast, the mainstream press still hates the Donald. Believe it or not, there's somebody who did some research, Kurt, about this. Andrew Follett wrote the article. And they say a mere 3% of reports about President Donald Trump that aired on NBC and CBS nightly news were favorable. A new analysis by the nonpartisan press research firm Media Tenor. The report found that most reports were negative. 43% were negative, while another 54% were, quote, neutral. And even Fox News coverage was way negative, but more neutral. So Fox got it better than these other guys. But the bottom line is that it was negative, 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 negative about Donald. In contrast, they had a lot of positive stories about Hillary. She got 49% reports about her being positive after she obtained enough delegates to become the Democratic Party's nominee. The default narrative is always negative, says Sean Spicer. Boy, is he spot on. And it's demoralizing, says Sean Spicer. I agree, Kurt. But only 3% of these mainstream press folks had positive. Most Americans, by the way, agree with Spicer. So I found that interesting, Kurt. What an interesting study. Fact check the fact checkers and then drill down on the media. The American people think completely different, though, Kurt. All right, anything else from Donald's speech that is important? There's one other thing I want to mention. When Donald focused on this widow of this fallen Navy SEAL, he did an incredible job, Kurt, in this reality. He quoted the Bible. And when he talks about when somebody gives their life for another, how sacred it is. Kurt, he was spot on to quote the Bible, spot on to bring up Christian pro-life views, spot on to reflect and show gratitude. This wasn't about partisan politics. This wasn't about anything except for showing gratitude for someone giving their life. And I commend Donald Trump for this, Kurt, and I'm glad that he used a biblical reference for that. He used pro-life and biblical references on many points in this speech, Kurt, as well. He deserves credit for that. Here's how he ended his speech, Kurt. Let me see if I can find this. Here we go.
And bold, and
listen to this.
Members of to embrace by failures of the past, and guided by a vision, not blinded by our doubts. I am asking all citizens to embrace this renewal of the American spirit. I am asking all members of Congress to join me in dreaming big and bold and daring things for our country. I am asking everyone watching tonight to seize this moment, believe in yourselves, believe in your future, and believe once more in America. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States.
Wow.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Over the past two decades, Disney, once the custodian of family-friendly entertainment fare, has emerged as one of the chief corporate promoters of the gender revolution, and its new live-action cinematic version of the fairy tale Beauty and the Beast will continue in that tradition. Disney built its reputation on princesses finding their prince, living happily ever after in storylines which set the benchmark for romance for generations of children, observes the London Telegraph. Now, Disney is to move firmly into a new area as it introduces its first exclusively gay moment, disclosing that the new version of Beauty and the Beast will star a manservant exploring his sexuality. The character, Lefeu, struggles with his feelings for ultra-macho leading man Gaston, continues the report. Director Bill Condon promises that the character's story arc will have its payoff at the end in what he describes as a nice, exclusively gay moment in a Disney movie. Matt Cain, editor of the LGBTQ publication Attitude, who has seen a cut of the film, commends Disney for representing same-sex attraction in a short but explicitly gay scene. In doing so, the studio is sending out a message that this is normal and natural, and this is a message that will be heard in every country of the world. Female lead Emma Watson has also revised the role of Belle to conform to prevailing feminist dogma. Disney has promised that it will soon produce a film featuring what it calls an LGBTQ princess. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right, there's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, the Trump administration is considering a 37% cut to state departments to pay for military spending. Kurt, you want to talk about this a little bit here?
Well, it kind of reminds you of that story about the lawyers. What do you call a busload of lawyers going off the cliff? And the other guy said, well, a good start.
Kurt,
you know,
I'm
well,
not for anybody
I mean, no,
going off
I know,
the cliff.
I know. But the point is, Sam, at least in government, when we believe typically you've got about 90% of out-of-control government spending, if you take 37% out, that's a good start, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is it's a good start to cut that out and to decrease that 37% at the State Department levels, or State Department's levels, whatever, you know. But to reallocate that to greater spending in the military is of great concern, Kurt.
Well, that's I agree that especially if it's not properly done, you know, I mean.
Well, in my opinion, that's the concern. He wants to pay for increased military spending. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, Kurt. I guess he wants to cut the, let's see, what are these? Slashing budgets for the State Department and the U.S. Agency for International Development in order to add 54 plus billion to the military. I've got a problem with that, Kurt. I'm not okay with that. Because I really believe we have plenty of money for the military if we wisely allocate it and we look at it differently, that we're not the world's cop, but that we are all about defending America. But they say, here's the problem, and here's why I say this, Kurt. There's an internal review that has now found that there's $125 billion in administrative waste at, Kurt, the Department of Defense. That's in 2015.
Well, that's where you get to the real details. That's what I was thinking about when you were talking about this. Is just imagine if you and I could really go through that budget. Just imagine if we could really see all the government spending. You know, when we've done that on our local, like, counties, cities, even school districts, you know, just a little bit that they'll let you have, that you, they'll let you look at, you just find boatloads of cash. Typically, just you're going, what in the world is that there for?
Well, that's exactly right. And that's kind of what the problem is that I have, Kurt, about Donald's whole speech. He did a lot of good things. He talked about God. He referred to the Bible. He talked about pro-life. He talked about efforts to decrease the size and scope of government. He talked about being the leader of the United States, not the world. A nationalistic viewpoint, not some globalistic agenda. He talked about making America great. He talked about, you know, all kinds of good things, really good things. But if you're not paying attention, he really basically said, I'm going to get rid of a lot of the government that I don't like and replace it with and promote a whole new area of government that I love. That's of great concern, in my opinion. Now, our buddy Lloyd Marcus wrote an article, Kurt, about Donald Trump's speech exposes the sickness of the Democratic Party. What do you think, Kurt?
You're saying that Lloyd Marcus says that his speech exposes the sickness of the Democratic
Party. Within the Democratic Party, yeah.
I don't know what he means exactly by that, except for if he's saying, hey, you've got to give them all these different little things just to get their vote on certain idea items, then I agree, and that's basically the sickness in the whole political system.
Well, let me tell you what it was, Kurt. Donald said, I don't know how to deal with everyone. All I know is to tell you what I want to do and speak from the heart. And he's basically saying, who can't accept that as a legitimate point to make? That I'm just telling you what I want to do. I'm just telling you that I want to make America good. I don't want to divide. I don't want to have racial tensions. I don't want to fight. I just want to tell you what I'm thinking, what I'm trying to work on, what I want to do and why. And the sickness of the Republican Party is they can't even let a statement like that go successful, Kurt. They can't even say we agree with that. This is the point. When can we learn to agree? Can we agree with our enemies or our supposed opposition ever, Kurt? And so Lloyd Marcus, well-known black conservative commentator that calls himself an unhyphenated American, which I completely agree with, says the sickness here is that we can never agree. It's all partisan. When is the fake news media going to quit using their standard tried and true tactics to quit trying to destroy Trump? Because if they continue, they're going to fail. Trump did a great job. Just imagine Trump actually following through with the things he intends to do. Just imagine them beating him up for that, Kurt. Anyway, Lloyd Marcus points out, in my opinion, a critical truth here. So I found that kind of cool. I was kind of impressed with it. All right, Kurt.
Very impressive. Very impressive. I agree.
Good for Mark. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, good for Lloyd Marcus. Mm-hmm. All right, Kurt. Hundreds of non-citizens registered to vote in Ohio. Investigation finds. Caroline May with the story.
Yeah, they're not going to want to talk about this, Sam.
Well, Kurt, they have to now because the studies have been done. And not only that, were many of these people added to the voter rolls. In other words, registered to vote, but many of them cast ballots, Kurt, and they have proof. Now, where's the mainstream press to correct their politically driven, lying-based agenda, Kurt? Where are they going to come to the table and tell the truth now?
No, they're going to talk about something else that they want.
That's just in Ohio, Kurt.
Yep.
What about the rest of the nations? What about the border states where there's way more illegals than Ohio?
Yep. If they really want to have a, you know, real vote where you have honesty in voting and all that stuff, then there are ways to get to the bottom of it. But I don't think they really want that, Sam. Do you?
Right. Wow. Anyway, I'm not sure how to respond to all that, Kurt, except to say that why don't we just find out the truth, Kurt? Why do we have to lie and be divisive and fight?
There you are, you little truther.
Make it partisan. See, now I'm basically a racist, a truther. I'm willing to work with Al-Qaeda to destroy the nation, claims Glenn Beck. See, these people are crazy. I'm just trying to give credit where credit's due. Right?
Imagine that.
Why am I the problem? What have I done?
Well, you're opposing them. You're only, you know, the only way you're going to be ever given the, you know, the kudos that they, that you maybe just deep down inside really want, is you've got to do exactly what they tell you, Sam.
I'm never going to do it, Kurt. Never. Because I'm telling you what, I'm standing for America. I don't care about race. I don't care about, you know, right, left. I don't care about any of those things. I want to obey the supreme law of the land, the rule of law. I want to acknowledge God is greater than government. I want to do my best to obey God's laws, and I want to use that as a way to teach every nation on the planet to become great again, or to be great again, or be great, whatever you want to say. Some of them have never been great, but I want to teach them how to do it. This can be an opportunity. I can remain nationalistic, care about my country, so can every other person. It doesn't mean we have to hate each other or be divisive or destructive or anything else. And we can just simply say, I am an American. I want to make America great. Why would I not want that? I'm going to also teach you how to enable the economic engine in your favor and God's blessings for your people in your country. And I want Mexico to be great again. I want China to be great. I want the people of the world, God's children, to be great, Kurt. I'm going to say that again. I want God's children to be great, Kurt.
Wow. And you mean... not just like Texans or Utahns.
I want them to be great too.
Mississippians, but you just mean every living human being.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Wow. Even some that might be considered subhuman, I'd like them to repent and change too.
Yeah, you mean like Joe Biden as well?
Well, like rapists and, you know, yeah, those kind of people. That,
oh, yeah.
You know, I say they're subhuman just because they become an enemy to God. They become abhorrent to everything that we hold dear, Kurt. But they can change, they can repent, they can come back. Ann Coulter wrote an interesting article, Kurt, I don't know if you saw it. How to provide universal health care using this one easy trick. Did you see this?
I remember reading one by her where she told about how terrible it was for her to try to deal with the whole thing. What does she say is the
Well, she
trick?
First said we don't need Congress to provide health care, Kurt. Neither do we need them to provide bread.
Wow. Imagine that.
What she says we need to do is let the free market solve the health care crisis. Do we agree we have a health care crisis, Kurt?
We have a government care crisis.
That's right. Quick pause. It's Kurt's spot on. We'll drill into it in seconds. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable, live on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio station.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Sam McCurt, talking about Ann Coulter's brilliant column. We don't need Congress to provide us with health care any more than we need government to provide bread. Now, the interesting thing is she talks about, outside of a communist dictatorship, Kurt, there's products all over the place that are incredible and free and awesome. And she documents this and explains in her column that what we need is for health insurance to be available on the free market with lots of companies competing for your business. Believe it or not, basic health insurance would cost about $50 a month if we did that, Kurt.
That's her figure?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you know, when I was reading...
How, why, what?
Yeah, well, she says, first sentence of Congress's Obamacare repeal should read, there shall be a free market in health insurance.
Yep.
Yeah. End of sentence.
Now, she says that Christians have been doing this, and they got an Obamacare waiver, and their health care costs about $50 a person.
Well,
under the law,
question.
Kurt. It can't be called insurance, though, see? Can't use that word, no?
That's right. And you're familiar with that.
I'm very familiar with several different competing organizations that do that, Kurt. And a plan is anywhere from $50 to $200 a month per person, depending on what, you know, the details are. But you can get a whole family for like $400. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Well, and what I find interesting, Sam, what area of, I guess you could say, expense that people, you know, plan on spending, do we force them to pay for ahead of the expense? You know, I mean, we don't do that with food. I know government would probably like to. We don't do it with, like, toothpaste or clothes, but when it comes to, you know, health care, you know, what I'd call sick care, we force them to spend money on it even before they really have a real need for it, right?
Yes, for sure. Now, she kind of says it this way that I find fascinating, Kurt. She said, not only would basic health insurance cost about $50, but more and more and more healthy people would join the plan because it wouldn't be by force. And it would drive the price down to more like $20, $30, $40 a person. And she says this, quote, in a free market, there would be an endless variety of consumer-driven plans, Kurt. From catastrophic plan, those are for the risk oblivious, to extravagant plans for the risk averse. She says, in fact, it would be just like every other product in America, widely available and inexpensive. Kurt, She's right. But again, Congress can't get off the stuck on stupid plan. They can't figure out a way to move forward. They just can't get it done. They should have released and passed something the day after Donald took to the congressional speech, and they should have adopted her plan. They should have said, look, all they'd have to do is one change, Kurt. Right now, there's grandfathered in Christian organizations that have been providing these health share plans. You can't call it insurance, but these health share plans, they were grandfathered in because they've been around for a long time. And there was enough political Christian mojo politically to grandfather them in. All you have to do is write one little change to the law, which would say we allow other startups to do the same. Boom. Everybody would get an Obamacare exemption, Kurt. Everybody could go to whatever plan they wanted and instantly would compete. So it would say this: we allow other companies, startups, to join the grandfathered in exceptions or waivers to Obamacare, and we allow these to be sold across state lines. We also allow catastrophic plans from any provider to qualify for an Obamacare exemption. All you got to do is exempt the whole population, Kurt. Ann Coulter's spot on this one. Absolutely right.
You know, in one of her parts of her article, it says, in a free market, there would be an endless variety of consumer-driven plans, from catastrophic care for the risk oblivious to extravagant plans for the risk averse. She says, just like every other product in America, you should visit America sometime. She says, Chuck, the orange juice aisle in a Texas grocery store knocked the socks off Russian President Boris Yeltsin. And it says, in parentheses, imagine how cheap a double screwdriver must be in America. I guess he... That's
double screwdriver is
an
alcoholic drink, Kurt.
Yeah, and Boris Yeltsin liked that.
Made with oranges.
Says, just as there are rows of different types of orange juice in the grocery store and loads of grocery stores, there will be loads of health insurance plans and insurance companies offering them. Americans would finally be able to buy whatever insurance plan they liked as easily as they currently buy flat screen TVs, cell phones, and what's that product with the cute gecko in its commercials? Oh, I remember now, car insurance.
Yeah, good point. See, she's spot on in every point, Kurt. But again, this is where I don't understand why Congress can't just get something done, Kurt. Donald's asking for it. Everybody and their dog has written up a plan. Why can't we just write a single line bill that says, you know what? We're not going to just accept the grandfathered in Christian organizations. We're going to open this up to any startup or anybody else that wants to provide insurance as well. Now, we might, you know, create some way to prevent moral hazard there in terms of just startups providing insurance. But in my opinion, hey, what kind of moral hazard are we talking about? The kind where government funds it and then it goes out of business? So even in that, we don't really need to even worry. Why don't we just let the people compete, and the ones that are tried and true and the ones that have been around will get business, and the new startups, hey. What do we think, Kurt? I mean, I don't understand how this is even so complicated.
Well, it's not, Sam, and that's the key. I remember our buddy Jerry Hughes from Washington on Trial and all those good programs that he did for so many years. He would say, look, these are whipping boys of the different sides, and they're going to keep them around because they use them to bring in money, Sam, and if they solved the problem, they wouldn't have these ways to do that.
Yeah, but are we going to have a group of Republicans and a group of Americans that decide that's by the wayside, we've got to make America great, we've got to move forward, or are we just going to melt down on this and fail? If the Republicans don't get off stupid on this, Kurt, quick, they're going to fail. They're going to be gone. They're going to lose the majority in 18 and 20 and so on and so on. They're going to melt down. They better get this done yesterday.
And which Republican Party do you mean? Do you mean like the ones with Andy Biggs, or do you mean like
Paul Ryan? There's only one Republican Party that exists. The question is who controls it.
That's right. And all the different ones in there, there's, you know, you got the Orrin Hatches.
And it's up to us, the American people, to make sure the Orrin Hatches go, na, 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 bye-bye, and the Andy Biggs crews take control of the party. We've done that with Trump. We've done that with a few, but we haven't done that with enough. And we got to get it done yesterday. And if we don't, we're going to lose, Kurt. I'm telling you right now. We're going to lose, and we're going to lose, as Donald Trump would say, big league.
Huge. Yeah. Good point.
Isn't that what he says, big league, Kurt?
Yeah, I think he says that, too.
Some people thought he said bigly.
Yeah.
Is bigly a word, Kurt?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't think
of,
so. But know. Big League makes sense.
Yeah.
What we need is for health insurance to be available on the free market. And by the way, I've never signed up for Obamacare. I've played with their website to show how bogus it is. But I would certainly sign up for one of those Christian services if forced to, Kurt.
Yeah.
And I'm not against those Christian services. If they'd make it a little bit cheaper and give me some kind of a catastrophic plan, I would support it.
Yeah.
I personally just want an extravagant plan because I'm risk adverse. No, I'm just kidding. I really want what do they call those, Kurt? A catastrophic care for, I'm kind of risk oblivious, Kurt, is what
In other words, you'd kind of hate to dump money into a big vat, you know, where you don't see any real, you know, need for it.
Yeah, I kind of have a problem with that, personally. I mean, I just do. You know, that's the problem is I don't really have the
money.
Crazy. And so I try to just, you know, be as careful as I can. And I get the idea where government's saying, hey, you can't put everybody on the dole. If you can't handle your health insurance, then it forces us to. And my response to government on that is only under one condition. Is that true? That you insert yourself into a place you don't belong. Because if you don't have government insurance, then there's no way that you can force the taxpayer to pick up the tab, right, Kurt?
Great point, Sam. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's the important point. That's the important point to kind of understand about this is that, look, you might say, well, Sam, what about the doctor that can't handle you? He can refuse to serve you. That's right. But I can also develop a family doctor.
That's pro-choice, right?
Yes, it is. I can find a family doctor, though, that'll love me to pay his boat payment for the rest of his life. If I'm really in trouble, I'll agree to do something like that. But only if I'm in that kind of forced situation. There are options, folks. There are solutions. The answer is to get government out of the middle of healthcare and let you directly deal with the healthcare provider with no government restrictions, with no government guarantees to pay, which drives up costs or drives costs through the roofs. There are answers, folks. But the problem, in my mind, that we have, the biggest problem is Congress is stuck on stupid. The Republicans don't know what to do with power and leadership. And I'm telling you, if they don't fix it right away, Kurt, they're going to be done. I pray that isn't true, but I predict it is. All right, there you have it. 2 hours of hard-hitting talk radio in the can. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. We absolutely need your help in every way. Spread the broadcast to your friends. Get involved with solutions. And help us in every way, including financial, would you please? LibertyNewsRadio.com. LibertyNewsDaily.com. We're here to do our very best to promote the principles that can restore the Republic to make America great again. And it's all based on principle. And we don't have friends and enemies. We have principles to stand for. This nation shall endure.